This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
Well, for the past several weeks, we have been making the journey through the Psalms of ascent. And these psalms shaped the heart of the pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem to worship. And everyone reminded them of who God is and what he had done. And each week as we walked through them has built upon the last. In Psalm 21, we learned that God is our keeper and that we lift our eyes to him when we are surrounded on every side, knowing that he is our helper. Amen. And in Psalm 133, we see the blessing and beauty of God's people walking in unity. When we center our hearts on the Lord, he pours out his spirit and brings refreshing. In Psalm 122, we discovered that worship is not an obligation. Rather, it's a joyful response to the goodness of God. Amen. And we come into his house and live our lives with the attitude of thanksgiving because he is worthy of our praise. Last week in Psalm 127, we were reminded that unless the Lord builds the house, our labor is in vain. God must remain first in every area of our lives, in our families, in our church, in our workplaces, in our businesses, all of it. Amen? Because when he is first, his blessing rests upon it. When he is first, his blessing rests upon it. Everlasting work begins with him. Amen? So this week I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Through many of our previous stops, we have been looking forward. We had our eye on the prize, which is the Lord. But this morning, we're taking a pause and we are taking a look back. Many will tell you that we do not need to look at the past. Have you ever heard that before? Don't look behind you. Don't look at the past. What is behind is behind. However, perspective has a way of revealing what we couldn't see in the moment. Amen? There are some powerful truths and wisdom that can be discovered when we take a moment to look back. Not to dwell on failures or to relive painful moments, but we look back to remember the faithfulness of God in every season and every memory. Because life has a way of keeping us focused on what's next, doesn't it? You know, we just talked about what's next for several people. I guarantee after today, they're going to be thinking, well, what's next? You know, there's another responsibility to carry, another challenge to face, another prayer to pray, another mountain to climb. And we are constantly moving from one season to another. And in the process, we can forget just how faithful God has been. Think about it. How many times do we celebrate victories without considering how they were won? Or we stand safely on the other side of a storm without considering what could have happened had God not been at work? I think there are times that we can become so accustomed to God working and his faithfulness that we begin to treat it as ordinary. Come on, somebody. Almost as if we are entitled to it. And we don't take the time to pause and give thanks to the one who made every one of those things possible. So Psalm 124 is that wake-up call to those traveling to Jerusalem to worship, and to us as well. David invites the people of God to imagine life without the Lord's intervention. He reminds us that every chapter of our story bears the fingerprints of God. The prayers that were answered when no one else knew what you were praying. the dangers we never recognized because God protected us before we ever saw them. The blessing we enjoy today that we were only made possible because the Lord went before us yesterday. Hallelujah. He has been with us every step of the way. Church, he's been with you every step of the way. So as we open the psalm today, I want us to ask ourselves one simple question. What would my story look like if God had not been there? What would my story look like if God had not been there? Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8, let's read it together. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Lord, once again, we say thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we pause today and we look back, we just ask God that you would speak to us through this word, that you would give me the words to speak and us the ears to hear what you're saying to us today. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we need to remember, or the first thing we need to look at, is to remember who delivered you. Remember who delivered you. In the very first two verses, David opens up this psalm with a powerful declaration of the sovereignty of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side. Hallelujah. And you notice that he repeated it. The repetitive nature of this was purposeful, as we've talked about before. It was common in the Hebrew writing to use repetition to emphasize something they don't want overlooked. So David is reminding the Israelites that God is the one who stood with them. Just like us, they could get caught up in the tendency to magnify their problems. I mean, that's just me, right? That's not y'all. Y'all do way better than I do, right? No, we have a tendency to magnify our problems. You know what it's like and how we dwell on them, how we recount every detail of the hardship, every obstacle, every disappointment. Yet God is calling us to begin somewhere else. He's saying through David, begin with the greatness of the one who fought for us. Come on. Hallelujah. People had every reason to remember. Again and again, nations larger, stronger, better equipped had risen against them. Think about it. This is even true in our modern history. And from our human perspective, they should have been erased from history. Think about it. Yet, they were still standing. Praise be to God. Because God's faithfulness had sustained them. They had not survived by accident or through luck. Come on, it wasn't luck that kept Israel. It was the word of God Almighty. Let's look at a few examples. You know, when the Israelites stood trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, there was no escape route. The army behind them was closing in, and the sea before them seemed impossible to cross. In their minds, all hope was lost. You know, I believe, I can't remember if it's that time or the time after that, but they asked Moses, did you just bring us out here to die? They were a friendly bunch. But in Scripture, it tells us that they feared greatly in Exodus chapter 14. But in that moment, Moses declares, Exodus 14 verses 13 and 14, it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Woo. It wasn't Israel who saved themselves. God did it. If you read on in the story, you may be familiar with it, but God parts the Israelites walk through on dry ground to the other side. Once they make it to that side, he closed the waters on top of the Egyptian army. God's deliverance was on full display. Hallelujah. Years later, as Moses prepared a new generation to enter the promised land, he reminded them that they would face enemies and challenges beyond their own strength. Yet he tells them that they were not entering alone. Deuteronomy chapter 31, he says this, "The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Moses didn't mince words here. He tells them there will be battles. Church, I want to just bring you some great encouragement this morning. You will face battles and trials in this life. Scripture is very plain and clear on that. We will face trials of many kinds. But he also declared this, Moses also declared this, that the promise that God would never abandon them. That same assurance carries into the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews, as he is giving final instructions, reminds us that the Lord has said in Hebrews chapter 13, he said, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hallelujah. That is a promise of the Lord. Yes, we will face trials. Yes, we will face battles. But yet the Lord is with you, church. I will not fear. Paul writes with confidence in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Hallelujah. These things refers to the many reasons for our confidence that Paul had written in chapters 5 through 8. And he says this having experienced hardships and persecution himself. Here's what the deliverer wants us to understand through all of these examples. Regardless of what we go through, every battle and every victory, the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. That's a reason to shout this morning. Amen. It's powerful to think that our confidence rests not in ourselves. I'm thankful that it doesn't all depend on me. Hallelujah. We'd be in a whole world of trouble if that was the case. It doesn't rest in ourselves, but in the Lord. Man, rehearse God's goodness. Take inventory of his grace. Remember the prayers that he has answered. Remember the doors that he has opened. Remember the strength he supplied when all of your strength was gone. Remember the greatest deliverance of all. Every believer can say, "If the Lord had not been on my side, I would still be lost in my sin. But through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus has rescued us." Every one of these declares the Lord was on my side. Hallelujah. Speak boldly like the author of Psalm 118. He says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free." Hallelujah. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Praise God. Hallelujah. The more we remember God's faithfulness and deliverance that is behind us, the more confidence we have to trust Him with whatever lies ahead. Amen? The more confidence we have to trust Him with whatever lies ahead. You see, we not only remember what God has done, but we trust God's protection in every storm. We trust God's protection in every storm. Having acknowledged that the Lord was on Israel's side, David now paints a vivid picture of what their lives could have looked like without him. He describes a raging flood. In verses 4 and 5, he says, "Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters." Now, I realize that floods are not something that we deal with a whole lot around here, except for when it sprinkles and Dixie turns into a river. But, I mean, that's besides the point. But floods, especially flash floods, are destructive and can be catastrophic in a matter of moments. We've seen what that looks like down in the hill country, you know, last 4th on July 4th when the camp was swept away. And they're dealing with those floods again this year, this week. So we know what that can look like. They can be destructive and catastrophic. For those Israelites David was speaking to, they knew the power he was describing. A dry stream bed could transform into a violent torrent in a matter of moments. Travelers who thought they were safe could suddenly find themselves surrounded by rushing water with nowhere to run. And David uses this image to grip our imagination and gather our attention. While maybe not truly affected by a flood, there are seasons when life feels exactly like that. Problems come so quickly that you just can't catch your breath. Pressure rises. What lies ahead feels downright impossible. And it's like it is one difficulty that comes after another. And David is being honest here, admitting that God's people experience overwhelming moments. You see, faith doesn't deny reality, but faith recognizes that there is a greater reality. Come on. The presence of God in the midst of our reality. Oh, don't miss this. Had it not been for God, David says that in these verses, the waters would have. Woo! Would have. Not did, would have. The flood had the power to sweep them away. And it may have the power to sweep you away, but it did not and will not prevail. God's protection stood between his people and complete destruction. Isaiah repeats the same thought with a declaration. In Isaiah 43 verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Oh, notice Isaiah says the same thing that David was saying. When you pass. God never promised his people a life without deep waters. He promised that the waters would never have the final word. We can trust in his protection. Hallelujah. Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3 tell us this. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Hallelujah. God is not merely available in times of trouble. He is present in them. There's a tremendous difference there. Many times after a natural disaster, countless organizations such as Convoy of Hope or Samaritan's Purse, they show up to offer help and supplies. But here God is speaking to us, saying that he walks with his children while the storm is still raging. He's not like Convoy of Hope or Samaritan's Purse and comes after the fact. He's with you in it. Are you hearing me this morning? In 1871, the city of Chicago was devastated by the Great Chicago Fire, and a man by the name of Horatio Spafford lost much of his real estate holdings in this disaster. 2 years later, seeking rest for his family, he sent his wife and four daughters back to England ahead of him while he remained behind to finish business. During the voyage, their ship collided with another vessel and sank in the Atlantic Ocean. More than 200 people lost their lives. Spafford's wife survived, but all four of their daughters lost their lives. When his wife reached England, she sent her husband a brief telegram with only two words, "Saved alone." As Spafford crossed the Atlantic to meet her, the captain informed him when they had reached the place where his daughters had drowned. Standing on the deck in unimaginable grief, Horatio Spafford penned the words that would become one of the church's most beloved hymns. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea blows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You know, the storm was real. The loss was devastating. Yet beneath the waves of sorrow stood an unshakable confidence that Christ had not abandoned him. It is well with my soul. That is the kind of confidence Psalm 124 calls us to embrace. The Apostle Paul understood that this truth as well. Writing about his own hardships, he declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Paul recognized that his sufferings provided the platform for God to display his power. Hallelujah. Each one of us as believers that have experienced God's protection eventually reaches a moment of reflection, just like Paul. Looking back, you realize, I shouldn't be here. But by the grace of God, I am. Hallelujah. And that realization naturally leads to praise. You see, we praise God for every rescue. We praise God for every rescue. I'll say it again, we praise God for every rescue. When you think of all the Lord has done, how can you not praise? It's like the old song that says, "When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, he turned me around, and he set my feet on solid ground, and makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Psalm 124, verses 6 and 7 tells us this: "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped." David urges the pilgrims to give honor where honor is due. This is so key for us. So key for us. Every rescue should become an occasion for worship. Every trial walked through is a testimony of God's goodness. Just as the bird in these verses couldn't break the snare on its own, we know that it is God who brings us through life's most difficult situations. This is the story of God's people. Hallelujah. Again and again, the enemy has sought to trap, enslave, and destroy, but God has repeatedly intervened to bring deliverance. This is a theme throughout Scripture. God is revealed as a God who rescues. David writes in another psalm, in Psalm 34. He says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Can you imagine if that last line wasn't in these verses? But it is. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Every season is another reason to praise. David shows us that God hears the cries of his people, and he never abandons those that belong to him. If nothing else, here is something that I want you to hear today. You may be sitting here thinking that you don't have a reason to praise. What has the Lord rescued me from? Before Jesus, every one of us was trapped in something far more dangerous than any earthly enemy. We were bound by sin. We were separated from God, unable to free ourselves. No amount of religion or morality or personal effort could break the chains that held us. But God. My two favorite words in all of Scripture. But God. It tells us in Colossians chapter 1, it said, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He has delivered. Come on, somebody. I'm working up a shout of praise in this room this morning. And I don't know if you're with me or not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Salvation is not for self-improvement. It is divine rescue. Hallelujah. Jesus entered the prison that we could not escape. He defeated a sin and death through his cross and resurrection, and he opened the door to freedom. We have a reason to praise. Hear me today. If you have not experienced this freedom, it is available for you today. This is not some good old boys club that only a select number of us get in. The Bible declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. He didn't say, for God just loved Oliver and that's it. Oh, well, it's just Crystal. That's all that's loved. Sorry, guys. No, for God so loved the world. You can be set free today. Out of the snare, out of the flood. The rescue story many of us share can be yours too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as I wrap this up this morning, you know, that last verse really just kind of puts the exclamation point on what he is saying to us this morning. Verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You know, we're not talking about a God who isn't able. Scripture tells us time and time again that he can do the impossible. That God is able. The God who made the heavens and the earth, who spoke them into existence in the beginning, is the same God who holds you in the palm of his hand today. The same God who knits you together in your mother's womb. The same God who knows every hair on your head or lack thereof. That's the God we worship this morning. That's the God we're here to talk about this morning. Jesus, the Son of God, came and died for us. Held our sin upon his back so that we could be free. And David here, he ends where he began, through remembering God's deliverance, celebrating his protection, and praising him for every rescue. And then he declares, our help is still in the Lord. The God who has been faithful in the past remains faithful today. His character has not changed. His power has not diminished. His promises have not failed. The one who created heaven and earth is more than able. So would you just stand with me all across this room this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's not a single moment that we let this pass by without asking a simple question. A simple question. Do you know Jesus? Is he the Lord of your life? Come on. Not one of us is exempt from trials and battles. Have you been facing them alone? Is Jesus on your side this morning? I'm here to tell you he is. And he longs to have a relationship with you. The whole reason he died is so that we could be set free. He rose again for that freedom, so that we can be reconciled to God. What sin separated, Jesus brings back together. He wants you. He died for you. So if you're in this room this morning, you say, I am away from the Lord and I want to give my life to him this morning. I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, church, now here's something for you. Remember what the Lord has done. Come on, just begin to think about what the Lord has done in your life. You know, we sing this song all the time. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Come on, look what the Lord has done in your life. Begin to look at his faithfulness and his goodness in your life. And I want that just to stir something up in you. Stir a praise up in you that can't be silenced. Stir a praise up in you that remembers what the Lord has done. If it had not been for the Lord, where would you be this morning? Oh, when I think about that, where I would be if it had not been for the Lord. Oh, there's no telling. But the Lord in his goodness set me free. Come on, is there anyone in here this morning that's been set free? Is there anyone in here this morning that can say, look what the Lord has done in your life? Come on, yeah, that's okay. Give him a shout of praise. That's a reason to shout. That's a reason to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Lord, we are thankful. As we look back and we see all that you have done, you are the reason we have been rescued. Every praise belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, it's not in anything that we have done, but it's all you. You changed me. You set me free. You placed my feet on solid ground. When I was sinking in the miry clay, you reached down with your loving hand and pulled me out and set my feet upon the solid rock. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for what you have done. Oh, you are good and you are holy and you are worthy. We honor you today, Lord. When we look back at all that you have done, Lord, we know that no matter what we face ahead, you are there. You are with us. As we've seen what you've brought us through, we know that you can do it again. We know that you are able. We know that there's nothing too hard for you. Great and mighty God, worthy of praise and honor, we thank you today. Oh, church, would you just lift your voices and just tell him thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For great are you, Lord, and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, and over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We thank you, God. We thank you that our help is found in you, that it's not dependent upon us. We give you praise. Blessed be your name. And it's in your mighty, awesome, powerful, glorious, holy, righteous name that we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise this morning? Hallelujah.